Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin,
over death, over all. That was so good. I am so glad I am here this morning. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. As the video is so well portrayed, and about 3,000 people's lives are taken from us on that day. And yet, at the same time, did you know about 15,000 lives were saved? By police, by fire, by rescue, by volunteers and all that. So I want to honor this morning, if you're a law enforcement, fire, rescue, veteran, military, we're all standing. Let's see your hand right now if that's you. Put your hand up high right now. Give these guys a great hand clap. We thank God for every one of you guys. Amen. Thank you. And we'll never forget. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for your goodness. We trust the mighty Holy Spirit. He is here right now, and he will lead us and guide us into all truth. We believe our eyes are open to behold wondrous things from the Word of God. We believe we have hearing ears to hear from heaven today. Our hearts are hungry. Our hearts are stirred and receptive to receive your Word. So thank you for helping me to communicate your Word in such a manner that we can hear it and just go do it. Just go live it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shake a couple of hands before you sit down. Tell somebody, I'm glad I'm sitting by you today. All right. I'm glad I'm sitting by you. Amen. This morning when I came in, I noticed on the cover of your handout the word hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
Say it again, hope.
Hope.
Hope is a great word. And we just saw 23 lives here. At one time, the devil told them there's no hope, but he's a liar and he is under our feet. Amen. And we heard a couple of stories. I'm sure we could have passed the mic this morning and heard story after story of people who thought there was no hope, but then they found hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. They found hope in God's power and God's purpose and God's plan for their life. Amen? And so today I want to talk about what do we do when it seems hopeless. 15 years ago, it was a Tuesday, if you remember, 9/11. How many remember what they were doing on 9/11? I do too, very vividly. And it was a Tuesday, and it was a work day for everybody, and people were kind of going about their business, and their lives were changed forever, right? And it went from people's normal day at work and in the office and, you know, dropping their kids off at daycare or whatever, and it went on that day to the worst day of their life. And what do we do on the worst day of our life? What do we do when it looks like all hope is gone? How can we overcome? How can we recover? How can we get back at this? Amen. Let's turn, please, our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you've got a Bible today. David faced exactly this situation at a place called Ziklag. Ziklag's kind of a funny name for a place. That's what it was called in the Bible, Ziklag. And it was a place where they were there. It was a place where he and his mighty men had built families and built homes. They were kind of inhabiting this city. And while they were away, the enemy came in and took all their wives, all their kids away captive and burned the place down. And when they came back, it went from just kind of a regular day and what they were doing and all these things there to the worst day of their life. What do we do when it seems hopeless? In 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, it says, Now what happened, I'm reading from the New King James, Now what happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, that's their enemies, had invaded the south and Ziklag. And they attacked Ziklag and they burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away. And they went their way. So they come back and they see their place burnt down. Their city burnt down. Their homes burnt down. Their families taken away captive. And in those days, when they took captives, that meant slavery. That meant forced labor. And who knows all the other kind of horrors that would happen to their wives and to their children, right? So they're in great distress. In one moment of time, in just one day, it went from being a regular day to the worst day of their life. What do we do when it seems like it's hopeless? What do we do when we come across our Ziklag? Maybe it's a death of a loved one, unexpected. A loss of a relationship, a loss of a job, something we've given our whole life to building up, just like that is taken away. And we can see for no apparent reason. I mean, what do these guys do wrong that caused this to happen? Oftentimes, we don't know why things happen. I know this, if we wallow in the why, we oftentimes never get victory. Listen to me now. Sometimes God will show us why, sometimes He don't show us why. But wallowing in the why, there's no power there. Why this? Why me? Why this happen? We live in a fallen world. There's a real enemy out there. And if we begin to wallow in the why and just have a major pity party and feel sorry for ourselves, instead of doing something that can turn the tide, we can grow extremely bitter and never again regain fruitfulness in our lives. Amen? Let's see what David did here. So this is a major problem here. Their whole lives have just been completely turned upside down. In verse 3, it says, so David and his men came to the city again. There it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters have been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. They were grieving. And it says, until they had no more power to weep. They exhausted themselves. You know, grief can be that way, right? You just completely are drained. Can't even get up out of bed. Loss of appetite. Loss of any kind of desire or motivation. You're just completely wrung out like a rag. That's where they were at, right here. It's a totally natural way to feel. David's two wives, even David wasn't immune from this. Even the leader suffered from this. His two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, they'd been taken captive. And now David, verse 6, is a huge verse. I want you to see this verse. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. All of a sudden, the very people he trusted in, remember, these were his mighty men who came to him themselves in distress, and he turned their lives around because of their association with David. They went from being guys in debt and distress and all despondent to being great, mighty men and warriors, right? Their lives were changed because of David. Those guys turned on him.
Yeah, that's right.
Those guys, they want to blame somebody. We got to find a scapegoat here. And who better than the leader himself? After all, we were following him when we were away from town, and that's when our families were vulnerable. Let's stone him. The very men he trusted in, the very men he had that were closest to him, even those guys turned on him. And you and I could face a time like Ziklag when it seems like there's nobody standing with me. Everything I've built has been burned to the ground. Everybody I trusted in and poured my life into has been taken away. It looks hopeless. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? And so hope rises by what we see and by what we hear, and hopelessness rises by what we see and by what we hear. Listen to me now. They saw their city burnt down. They saw their wives and families all taken away. And now they're hearing all these things and all this negativity is brewing among all the people. And that's as they spoke of stoning him. And oftentimes we are our own worst enemy because we only look at the negative. We only see what we have lost. We don't see what we have left. And then we begin to talk in hopeless terms. We hear hopeless things coming at us from people who are feeding our hopelessness. And the worst thing is when we feed it ourselves with our own mouths. Right? So David was greatly distressed in verse 6. For the people spoke of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. The Hebrew word there, extremely bitter. When this kind of loss happens here, people can grow bitter. bitter in their heart. They're angry. They're bitter. They can grow bitter at people. They can grow bitter at their pastor. They can grow bitter at God himself. They can grow bitter at others who love them. They can grow bitter. That's where they were at. And David now is distressed. My life's in jeopardy from these very men I've poured my life into. For the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But, see that word there? It's a huge word. But David strengthened himself. Say it with me. David strengthened himself. Say it again. David strengthened himself in the Lord is God. We must learn how to do that because that is doable. It says, I love the old King James, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Because we can find ourselves in situations where we're looking for encouragement and there's none to be found. So what did he do? He encouraged himself. We're looking for someone to strengthen us and there's none to be found. What did he do? He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. It says in the Amplified Bible, David strengthened and encouraged himself. I love that one. He did both. And the word means both. He strengthened himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What did he do? And what can we do? Well, let's look at the next verse. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. Now, the ephod was the linen garment that the priest wore when they would go in God's presence and go in to inquire of God. When they would go in there and just spend some time with God and lifting up people's needs and interceding and so forth, they would wear the priestly garment. So David took off all of his armor. He put a sword away, put a shield down. He took his weapons and put them down, and he changed clothes, and he took on the role of the priest, and he put on the linen ephod, and he went to inquire of the Lord. And the Bible says David inquired of the Lord in verse 8, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He's asking God what to do. And God answered him, pursue. Now watch this. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And you keep reading that about verse number 19. That's exactly what they did. They began to pursue. He got his men with him. They were with him once again. They began to pursue. They came across a guy who was a slave of the Amalekites, who'd been cast aside because he fell sick, and they left him for dead. They fed him. They nursed him back to health. They asked him, where are you from? Who are you with? Because, you know, I was just down here at Ziklag with all this army, and we burned the place down. They realized he knew where the enemy was, and David said, can you take us to where the enemy is? The guy said, promise me you won't kill me or give me back to them. I'll tell you exactly where they are. He said, all right. They made a deal. The guy led them. They attacked the enemy, and they recovered every single wife, every single child, every single item that had been taken. They recovered all. How they do this? Here we go. Making notes, write this down. Number one, how do I stay strong when things go wrong? What do I do in the worst day of my life? What do I do when it seems hopeless? Number one, encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. If you find yourself in a situation where there's no encouragement to be found, encourage yourself. How? With my mouth and with my heart. That's how I do it. I say what the Bible says. About 3 years ago, August the 17th, 3 years ago was a Saturday, I was in the gym. I was in there yesterday. My normal routine, I'm in the gym, I'm on the elliptical, wham, have a heart attack. How do you like that? Just going about my business. Everything's cool. I think I'm in pretty, you know, I mean, I've been going to the gym. I'm on the elliptical, and it hits. I'm like, at first I thought it was something I ate, you know, because I like to eat green chili and stuff, you know. Too much of it. I thought it was something I ate, you know, and so I went ahead and got off that, and I could feel that it just felt weird, and I went up, had to go upstairs to where the weight room is. I thought, well, maybe I'll just kind of go away if I begin to work out a little bit, and it got worse. The whole deal, the arm tingling, the pressure, like someone sitting on, all of it, sweaty, every symptom you've ever heard about, I had them all. And I, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I thought, I think I'm having a heart attack. Kind of dawned on me, like, hello, I just, this realization hits you. And farthest thing from my mind. And so in my mind, it's just right down the street to the hospital. So in my mind, the fastest way to get there was to drive myself. So I went down, got in my car, and I drove myself to the hospital. But all the way, I'm saying what the Word says. Amen. All the way. I've been teaching a series from Ephesians 6:10. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I just kept saying, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. I kept saying, I'm strong in the Lord. I try to teach people, instead of saying, okay, don't be weak, don't be weak. When you're saying like that, don't be weak, don't be weak. What are you thinking about? Think about weakness. So flip that. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. So I teach them, you know, say, be strong. Say, I'm strong. I'm focused. You know, I'm disciplined. Whatever it is. You know, don't be weak. Don't be weak. Don't be undisciplined. You know, think about it. I'm strong. I'm focused, I'm disciplined, I'm diligent. Whatever it is you're trying to build in your life, just put it in your mouth and in your heart. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Remember this, the words of our mouth are crucial when we face a tough situation. I mean, they are critical. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Many years ago, Dr. Roy Hicks has been in heaven for many, many years now, was a mentor when I was just starting in ministry. He'd forgotten more than I ever learned in ministry in those days. And I never forget, he told me, he said, Ray, remember, he goes, watch the first words. When crisis comes, watch your first words. They set the direction, and you don't want to have to try to recover and get back and go this way. Watch the first words. So our words are crucial when facing a tough situation. So number one, encourage yourself. Number two, get into His presence. When things seem hopeless, when things seem just like they're gone, get into His presence. Amen? The Bible says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse number 11. So get into His presence. Amen? And so just you want to ask God. So get into His presence. Number three, listen for His voice. Get into His presence and then listen for His voice. David asked, inquired of God in verse number 8, what should I do? Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And God said, yes, pursue them, overtake them. You will recover all. So encourage yourself, get into His presence, and then listen for His voice. The Bible says, my sheep, hear my voice. John 10, 27, Jesus said this. Listen, He speaks to us. He speaks to us. I don't know why I hear Christians say, God never talks to me when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Either He lying or you're lying. And my money's on you, all right? Why would you say such an unscriptural thing? Why not just say, I'm His sheep, I hear His voice, I hear His voice, I hear His voice. The issue is, how do we hear it? Great question. Number one, in His Word. Yes. We hear His voice in His Word. When someone says, I never hear His voice, I wonder, do you ever read His Word? Threw it in for free. I can tell you love that one, all right? Number two, He talks to us in our hearts. He talks to us through His Word. He talks to us in our hearts, but that's always in line with the Word. So any leading you have that comes from God lines up with the Word. If it's against the Word, it wasn't from God. It's as simple as that. And He talks to us through others. So in His Word, in our hearts, and through others. But watch what they say. If what they say lines up, it's good. If what they say don't line up, forget about it. The Word is the standard, amen? So listen for His voice. He speaks to us. Number four, when it seems hopeless, expect your answer. I mean, expect it. You know what hope is in the Bible? Confident expectation. We use the word hope like this. Well, I hope it don't rain. I hope the kids don't get sick on vacation. I hope I can, whatever. And we use this word hope with no power, no expectation. You know, today, I hope the Raiders win. I'm a Raider fan. I hope that you can tell. I got a lot of faith, all right? This is our year. We've been saying that since 2002. This is our year. This is our year. Am I right? I'm not moved by what I see, I'll tell you that, all right? But we use this word hope like this as, you know, powerless. When in the Bible, it's confident expectation. I expect a favorable outcome. That's what the word hope is in the Bible. Amen? So expect your answer. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Matthew 7, verse number 7. So expect God to open doors for you. Expect God to give you fresh opportunities. Expect God to do these things because He will do it for you. Amen? And then what? move forward by faith. We have to do something. David, it wasn't enough just for David to say, well, I heard God's voice. Great. What are you going to do about it? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. We have to do something. Listen, we can't just sit around wishing for things to change, because they won't. We just can't sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. We just can't sit around saying nobody understands. There's always someone who understands. Always. Are you listening to me this morning? We got to do. You have to let down your nets for a catch. You have to fill the water pots with water. We have to do. Go wash in a pool of Siloam. We have to do something. We always have to do something to turn the tide. We always have to do something to turn hopeless situations around. Amen. And so do what he tells you to do. In fact, Mary told the servants at the wedding of Cana, whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, just whatever he says. She didn't even qualify. She said, whatever he says, just do it. She didn't say whatever he says unless it's too hard. She didn't say that. Whatever he says, unless it don't make sense. She didn't say that. She just said, listen, whatever he says, just do it. That's what you got to do. So, listen, you got to move forward by faith. We have to do something. And then, last of all, to just turn these situations around, find people who are with you. Find people who are with you. The Bible said when God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. The very next verse, verse 9, David went, he and the 600 men who were with him. Get in a life group. Be involved in church. No TV program can bring fellowship to us. We can get a great message, but we need more than a message to grow. We need more than a message to turn the tide. We need others who are with us. The Bible says two are better than one. Remember, God never called us to do life by ourselves. Each of these young men who spoke up here today all said, I have brothers who are with me. Did you hear that? Yeah. To a person they said that. I've got brothers who are with me. And I want to help. God never called us to fight all the giants by ourselves, to do all this by ourselves. God didn't call David to overtake the enemy by himself. He had 600 men who were with him. 200 guys got tired. He went on with the 400, but all 600 rejoiced with all the spoil later on here. So find people who are with you. Even the strongest believer needs the help of others. We are stronger together. Napoleon Hill said this, no man is ever whipped until he quits in his own mind. Amen. So let's get after it. Let's believe again. Let's believe God again, amen, because that's how we can turn these hopeless situations around. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's pray.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.